Welcome to Women of the Future. Understanding is not enough. The reason for this particular subject is because we feel that there are women who have some sense of understanding of who they wish to be and what they would like their lives to be. However, does this affect your behavior? Does this impact on the way you speak and the way you behave, as well as your relationships? So that is the reason for today's topic. I have in the studio with me Sister Denise, who has been sharing her wisdom and insight with us. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Sister Denise, what does that mean to you, understanding is not enough?
You know, very often we'll say, I know I should do this, but I don't. Or I understand I have to do this or be this or not be this. But there's a different energy that sort of compels or forces a person to go actually against their understanding, which is why I think we're taking up this subject, that understanding is not enough.
I think, Sister Denise, for a woman who would like to be more than she is, for a woman who knows that I should be this, and or not should be, rather, that I would like to be this, and yet finds herself behaving or speaking in a way that's contrary to that, that creates an ugly tension within, doesn't it?
Because you're operating in opposition to yourself, you see.
This is a very, very descriptive way of putting it, to act in opposition to oneself.
So you have yourself going this way, and you have your understanding going that way, and there's a clash or a crash, you know. So I think this is what we're really looking at, that what is going on here, and why is there me going this way and my understanding going that way? Some problem is there. So I compare it with when people go against the voice of their own conscience, because you can understand, okay, I go against somebody else's directions because I don't agree with them, but the voice of my own conscience says this is the right way and I go another way. What forces are we talking about here? So one of them can be the force of habit. And that's a very big one, because we do have habits, and the habits are very powerful. So you will say, well, I know this is bad for me, I know I shouldn't do it, and next minute you're doing it. And you don't even know when you changed direction. So it shows that your will is weak and the habit is strong. So I think what we want to do is to get strength into the willpower. And you know, there's two kinds of willpowers. There's one sort of physical force type of willpower, which gets strained and which doesn't really work so well. There's another kind of willpower which is connected with sacrificing and surrendering the parts of you that are going against the real you. That results in a real power of the will, because the will, the conscience, and the intellect are all basically one and the same thing.
So I say that again, the will?
The will, the conscience, and the intellect.
I thought those were three separate entities.
We use them separately, but I think that the instrument of consciousness that deals with will, conscience, and understanding, judgment, intellect, all that, that's one part, which is not the same as the mind.
So Denise, you have very obviously thought about everything that you share very deeply over a number of years. There are women listening to you who are not intellectuals, who are not cerebral by nature, who do not think as deeply as you. It doesn't make them stupid. It makes them simple in their understanding. Not stupid, just simple. Okay? Does it mean that to get to a level of understanding that inspires change within, one has to be as deep as you?
I don't think so. When you're an educator, and I think of myself on some level as an educator, you want to take some ideas and enable someone to grasp them, to capture them. So putting complicated or complex concepts into simple language, nothing wrong with that. Sometimes people couch things in very complicated language so that somebody can't understand it. So using words like conscience, everybody uses the word conscience, and then will, you use the word will, and then intellect or understanding or intelligence. These are common words, but to put them together and to tell a person, okay, think of your will, your intelligence, and your conscience as being one thing, or three things on one side, if you want. But they're doing essentially the same work. Okay, then what's on the other side? Well, on the other side is habits which are in opposition to that. So who is strong? Basically, what we find is when the soul is weak, negativity is strong. This is why I very much in favor of saying or using the vocabulary that is not bad things are done by bad people. Bad things are done when people are weak. And when people are strong, they do good things. Good things means things that correspond to who you are and what you are. So when you're weak, the dark side of you takes the dominant position, and the pure side of you becomes paralyzed. So how to change the situation is to take power inside. You see, that's what it's about. People have this question, why do good people do bad things, or why do bad things happen to good people? It's because in our culture we characterize things, people, in terms of good and bad. But I would say we should not use that vocabulary and characterize it in terms of strong, empowered, or weak, empty. Because if you're empty, then the most important thing to do is get full. Now, the problem with our culture is it will punish weakness. And if you punish weakness, it makes a person weaker. So it's completely nonsensical. What you have to do when someone is weak is give them strength. What you have to do when the will is weak is enable it to gain strength. If the dark side of you is very strong, it's only because the light is weak. So you change the situation by increasing the light, which will actually make the darkness actually go away.
Okay, and by increasing your light, you mean what practically? Does that mean you look at your virtues, you enhance your virtues, or does it mean something else?
Well, your virtues come from the source of light anyway.
Which is God?
Which is God, okay. You see. So as soon as you turn your attention to God, you're filling. If you start working on the negative and start trying to destroy it, it's only going to get stronger. That's not the way. But it is the way that most people do, because it's in front of you. So I've got to destroy this bad thing. But you can't destroy darkness by arguing with it. You just bring in light, and the darkness goes away. Hmm. But it's so obvious, it's so simple, but because people are so used to doing it another way, they sort of don't see it.
Hmm. Okay, so Sister Denise, we have a a certain amount of understanding of the basics of spirituality. Sister Denise, what is the basics of spirituality that is a sufficient understanding to provide the impetus for a change in one's speech and one's behavior? I want to give you a practical example. Say if somebody is aware that she is grossly obese and she wants to go on a diet, but she's also aware that she's got to change some things within her internally. Okay, how does she go about doing it? You're shaking your head. Why?
It's doomed to failure if you approach it that way.
Okay, how does she approach it?
What she has to do is think about, what does it mean to be me? Because if a person is grossly obese, there can be a number of reasons, one of which is medication. Medication will do that to a person. Another one is stress, you know. And so you're trying to break down your defenses, which have to be there because they're there because of some other reason. So when you use the word grossly, there's a pejorative connotation, you know. And people say to a woman, you're fat means you're bad, you're ugly, whatnot, and so forth. So they focus on the body mass, you know. And basically, I think the woman has to say, get out of here, it's none of your business, shut your mouth.
Ouch.
Yes. Okay. Because that's not the way. You see, fatness is not badness. The thing that the fatness is a response to is the badness. So here it all has to do with trauma, can be to do with medical situation, can be to do with medication, can be to do with stress, abuse, all sorts of things like this. And the society focuses on the thing that is being used to protect the person and saying, that's bad, that's not right, you know. And this is why she should say, get out of here, none of your business.
Okay.
But now, okay, the woman says, okay, I want to be free from all of these things that I have to defend myself against. Well, they're not going to go away. And so you're going to have to exchange one set of defenses for another. But that doesn't really change the situation. I mean, she could change fatness into aggression, but what's the difference, really? So I think we have to just approach the whole thing very, very differently, because the problem is, on the one hand, there's a lot of oppression going on and difficulties for women. And on the other hand, the women need to take power. So taking power, to me, is the most important thing to do. But when you're in circumstances of adversarial situations, circumstances of adversity, to take power while you're under attack is much more difficult than to take power when you're not under attack.
Oh, hold on. That was very potent. Say that again, please.
Well, you need to take power, but you can't easily take power when you're under attack. If you translate it into military terminology, when you're under attack, you send a message to your suppliers, send weapons, send food, whatever, but they can't get through because you're under attack. So the thing is, when you're not under attack, you fill yourself with whatever you need. So I think what a woman will be needing to do is to, whenever she is not under attack, really use that time to fill herself with spiritual power, so that the next time the attack comes, and they do come thick and fast, she's got something to defend herself with, of a spiritual nature rather than a physical nature, you see. And people don't really see it like that, but that is really how it is.
Hmm. So Denise, there are levels of understanding, aren't there?
Well, of course there are levels of understanding, and one of the levels that I think is very important is the level which is not just intellectual. You have to have a knowing, you have to really know it in your bones, which is like an intuition. Understanding, when we say understanding is not enough, it's really what we mean to say by that is understanding it, processing it intellectually is insufficient to establish yourself in a new way.
What is sufficient then? How do you translate the understanding to behavioral change?
Feeling.
You've got to feel it.
You have to feel it. Because okay. If you feel it, it's much more, you can say much more real, much more deep than just comprehending or just agreeing. Yes, 2 and 2 equals 4, I agree. But to make it, you know, relevant, to make it part of you, you have to take it in, you have to inculcate it, you have to really allow it to go into your blood and your bones. So it's much, much deeper.
True. That's very, very powerful. So, Sister Denise, the energy that one has to invest in this, how do you make that transition from just understanding? Do you sit with yourself? Do you sit with God? Do you, you know, engage with a group of other like-minded people? How do you get yourself there?
There's many things. I mean, we talk of this as a study. Reflective study. We've spoken about reflective study. We need to have like-minded sisters. We need to have silence time. We need to think. We need to discuss. We need to research. We need to observe. We need to do deep personal inventories. Many, many things we need to do, and each and every little bit contributes to the overall whole.
Mm. The reality is that there are very few women on the planet who like every aspect of themselves. Every single one of us has room for improvement on the external and on the internal. And what you're saying is that if one does what you just said, where you know, sit with yourself and use your resources, both internal and external, then you can bring about the change.
Yes, and I think it's quite interesting that you raise this thing. We all have something we don't like about ourselves, but in some ways we have to sort of accept ourselves as we are.
How do you do that, Sister Denise? And I'm looking at it from a perfectionist mindset, which I know you're going to comment on because you're giving me the look. But how do you look at yourself, warts and all, and think, I really love myself, but if I have to do this and this and this, then this will be the person that I want to be. How do you do that? Like yourself with your imperfections? That sounds like a contradiction to me.
Surely, but I think it's to do with self-acceptance.
So you accept your dark side?
It's very important to accept it, to embrace it, and to, I like this expression, work with what you've got. Because all of us have very beautiful qualities and specialities and virtues and so on, and we also have insufficiencies and different things that we just don't like about ourselves and wish they wouldn't be there. But our work here is spiritual. It's to do with balance. You know, I think an interesting example is if ever you've traveled to a very north part of the world like Iceland or something, and you go in midsummer, well, there is no night and you really miss it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that we have this relationship with ourselves. We say, I want all the good and I don't want any of the bad. I want all the light, I don't want any of the dark. Well, if you get that, you feel there's something missing. So the totality light, dark, beauty, ugly, the whole thing is really the reality. And when you embrace the whole thing, the sun and the moon and the stars, that's so much beautiful, so much more beautiful than the sun, no moon, no stars, something wrong, something missing, you know?
That is something I think many women struggle with, because we tend to like and use our good side and have a very negative attitude towards our own weaknesses and that of others.
Well, this is because we live in a culture which I call toxic morality, conventional morality, which says, you know, with the finger wagging, you have to be like this, you can't be like that, this is allowed, this is not allowed. And nobody ever says, it is what it is. You know, it's not good, it's not bad, it just is.
Is neutrality part and parcel of spirituality?
Well, I think neutrality is very advantageous.
Neutrality towards yourself?
Yes, neutrality towards yourself, neutrality and acceptance combined, I think very good. And, you know, I love you however you are, whatever you are. I may not love your behavior, but I'm not going to say you are your behavior. But most people do say that, you know. I love you the way you are, and you can adjust this behavior because it's not necessary, you know. And you can start to do that with yourself, you see, because anything that you do or that you have or your attributes or whatever that you say, oh, no, I really don't like that part of myself, by trying to get rid of it, you just increase it. So focus on the pure, the positive. Do not focus on getting rid of the negative. You can't get rid of darkness by beating on it. You get rid of darkness by shining light.
Yes, that's a much kinder approach, isn't it? Because self-criticism is the equivalent of pouring acid on one's skin.
We don't want to do that.
Yeah, but so many do.
Because of the conventional toxic morality.
Okay, Sister Denise, is there any last words you'd like to leave our viewers with?
When you're understanding, you're in your head. Mm-hmm. You cut off from your heart. Sometimes people cut off from their heart because it's too painful to go there. What we need to do is have this flow going on between the head and the heart, the soul and the body, the totality of the self. Because otherwise we're living on ideas alone without them being rooted in the reality. And so that we have to be inclusive about.
That is beautiful and big. That is big. So you take your understanding to your heart.
Yes.
Oh, that will sit well with all our female viewers, because women are heart people.
Women are heart people. But a woman with a broken heart or a poison heart, that's devastating and dangerous.
Okay, you can't leave it there. You have to expand on that.
No, but
how does one come back from what you just said? Poisoned heart, broken heart. How do you come back from that? Through understanding?
Well, you can't do it through understanding. You have to do it by surrender and by just filling with the light, because that's the only thing that can detoxify your poisoned heart and repair the broken pieces of your being.
Tragically, We have to say goodbye to Sister Denise right now. If you felt that this episode ended on a cliffhanger, it was not deliberate. But what we will do is that we will take up the subject on a different episode. We've run out of time. We have only half an hour for the slot. So Sister Denise, very, very powerful message. Thank you for that. I loved the note in which Sister Denise ended. The beauty of the series is that Sister Denise shares things from a very practical and realistic perspective. Whatever is shared here is not theory and it's not head stuff. It's how you apply it into your daily life, your practical life. And I love the part about healing one's poisoned and broken heart. That's very beautiful because we're all damaged. The only question is to what degree. And healing is something that we have an interest in, whether we realize it or not. So it's a very beautiful note in which we say goodbye to Sister Denise and to you at home. I do hope that you found at least one thing, if not the entire episode, applicable to you. And I hope you can take what was shared here and put it into your life. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you, Sister Denise. Take care and goodbye.